On page Chaf, last time we spoke about the new, in the context, our subject for this year, but in the context of Purim, and I want to continue to finish up this really remarkable kuntres from Tzvi Meir Zilberberg. We have a little bit more to go. A little bit more, and then we're going to do something also in this inyan, also practical, working on something, and that'll take us in the Shemitah Pesach. Okay, so on page Chaf. On the left-hand side, where it says Ravinu Shebishamayim. That's a good way to start, no? Okay, Ravinu Shebishamayim, that's where everything starts and everything ends. Ravinu Shebishamayim writes to Shenachzer Neshanin Heitev. It's a beautiful way how he always puts it this way. And if you would meet him in person and how he talks, one of the beautiful things about the Kuntres is that it's exactly what he was saying. I mean, from the Yiddish, but it's how he speaks. Avinu Shebishamayim writes that our Father in Heaven wants us to constantly nachzav and neshan and hatev, to constantly review this. Gadol hanachas ruach sheyesh b'shamayim kol pam shehu di oved misyageh b'inyan hazeh. The tremendous, tremendous nachas ruach that Hashem has, the delight that Hashem has whenever a Jew is working to improve this inyan, of seeing people in a good way and trying not to look at the negative, not to focus on the negative. As we've been learning throughout this entire country, throughout this entire, for a person to remember that people are created with different nitiyas, different inclinations, different backgrounds, whoever you meet, and all that we've been talking about. Hashem has nachas when we work on this. Even the slightest bit of a complaint, of a tarumas, of a taina that a Jew uproots from his heart against somebody else, we can't even be masig, we can't even comprehend how much nachas that gives Hashem when even a little bit of a taina we're able to uproot from ourselves. Chazal HaKadosh Megamon, he says something so important that we're going to learn tonight. I mean, it's very obvious, but we have to review it. He says, Chazal have revealed to us, Ve'en lanu shemetz ha-sogim ezeh, She'sari imenu amra v'adoni zakei. Now you all remember that what Sari imenu really said was, how am I going to have a child with my husband? He's an old man. That's what she really said. But you all know that Hashem did not report that back to Avraham Avinu. Hashem, kivyachol, told a fib. What? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kishechazal Avraham Avinu, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo went back to Avraham Avinu, shinavam Hashem Esbaruch didn't say that Sarah said my husband is old. V'am Hashem Sarah Amar Vani Zakati. Hashem Esbaruch changed it and said that, oh, Sarah said that, your wife said that, how are we going to have children? I'm an old woman. Hashem Esbaruch said something that wasn't true. She said, my husband's old. But Hashem Esbaruch wouldn't say such a thing. The Chazal HaKadoshim, I remember Lanu, right? Rashi over there, Chazal tell us, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shina Mibnei Hashem. But Hashem Esbaruch said it over differently. He turned it around. Mibnei Hashalom. That there shouldn't Chas Hashalom be any hard feelings. There shouldn't be a problem to make a machloikis between Tzar and Avram. So Hashem Esbaruch said it in such a way that oh, your wife was worried, she's old, she said that she's old, how am I going to have a child? So Reb Tzvi Meir says, Ein lanu shemetz ha-sogim, can we even understand what this is? Avraham Avinu v'Sarah Imenu merkava l'shechina mamash. These are the two holiest people in the whole world. They merkava the divine chariot upon which what? Upon which chesed comes into the world. The mamash, the highest level of love of chesed. Ein lanu behem shemetz ha-sogim, we shouldn't think we understand them at all. Avami kol davar yesh lanu limud. So why did Hashem do this? Certainly, Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu are not the type of people to get like worked up about something, you know, personal. They're just not that way. So, and yet Hashem was so careful not to say such a thing. Oh, that, you know, my husband's old. K'mashi Yisim now told us. So the told us Yaakov Yosef Amari Naim, Lord Harbit Tzadikim. And other tzaddikim explain. Sari mina choshva, ha'eich yuchal liyos lanu yiladim, kisha Avraham Avinu zaken. So the tzaddikim explain the whole Indian like this. That Sari mina was really thinking, how is it possible to have, for us to have children? Avraham is an old man. Meila ani, meila myself, shani tzviches ha'yeshua, ha'kadosh baruch hu aysali neis. Meila, she says, this is the way someone explained this, her whole cheshbon. Meila, I, shani tzviches ha'yeshua, ha'kadosh baruch hu aysali neis, umishane sidrei bereishis. Meila, I never had a child. I'm desperate for a child. I will never know what it feels like to have a child unless Hashem does for me what a miracle. So maybe I could still, you know, ask for such a thing. So of course, I never was able to hold a child. I never had a baby. So maybe what? I'm the one that needs really a miracle. I'm the one that could daven for a miracle. Maybe Hashem will change around the order of creation. But he's already, this is what she was really thinking. He, thank God, he knows what it means to be a father. He has a child, right? He has Ishmael. He has a child. He's already older. He has a child. Therefore, he's not so desperate for Yeshua. He's not so desperate. That's all that she meant, that's what the tzaddikim say. That perhaps for him, Hashem will not, since he already has had a child, and his situation is not, mamash, he's not at the end of his line, he has a son, so perhaps Hashem will not change the order of creation on behalf of my husband. We're both old, but he has a son. I'm an old woman, I don't have a child, and I'm desperate for a child. Eimon Hashemet Hasagi, he always says, we don't even understand what these people. Umen Meila, La Hoya Shum Taina Me'avram Avinu, Olav HaShalom HaTarumis. Therefore, once we learn what the Tzaddikim tell us, what Sari Menas Cheshvan was, it wasn't anything bad, it wasn't God forbid anything negative about Avram. She wasn't saying, like when you look at Chumash, it sounds like you were saying, Hashem is over above. He's an old man, it's not Shaykh. That's not, God forbid, what she was saying. The tzaddikim explained to us that her chashon was that he already has a child and he's not empty. I'm totally empty, and therefore maybe because of this feeling of emptiness and this longing that's totally unfulfilled, maybe Hashem will do this miracle for me. But my husband is old, meaning that my husband, thank God, he has a family. I don't. That's all that she meant. So nobody could have, Avraham Avinu could never have a taina, there would never be a kpeda, he would never say, what kind of things that to say. Hashem could have given that over to Avraham Avinu. And Afal Pichin, despite the fact that she didn't mean anything negative, and Avraham Avinu was the kindest, gentlest, sweetest soul on earth, he would have never taken it in a negative way, because he knew who his wife was. That she couldn't possibly, what, she couldn't possibly have meant in any way to hurt. And nevertheless, Chazal have revealed to us what? Shekevin Shahay Yochelios Khan Epis. That's not Hebrew. Right? That Kevin Shahay Yochelios Khan Epis Ahepach Mishalom. That Hashem's Baruch was teaching us forever and ever, because that's what the Torah is all about. Especially with a husband and wife. That since it could come out Epis in some way, that a little bit of a tarumas, it could be a little bit of a tiny, even though it's beyond our understanding, because these people are not within the realm of our comprehension, but certainly it's within the realm of our comprehension and the kind of people that we are, that even though maybe she meant it in a nice way, but you know, my husband's old, it didn't sound nice. Now, Oz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechayis my Emes, and Hashem, who we know, the seal of Hashem is truth. That means that what Hashem loves more than anything in the world is truth. He despises falsehood. And nevertheless, Hashem, who loves truth and hates anything that smells of falsehood, Shina, he told a fib. Hashem switched around the thing, told a different story. He told Avramino something that Sarah never said. Sarah was the one that said, I am old. Sarah said about herself. He says, what do we learn from here? The Gemara says in Yevamos that you're allowed to change the story a little bit in order to what? To make sure that there's shalom, that there's peace. To try to keep peace. It could be something which is the slightest, the simplest thing. Even it could be what? That there's only going to be a mashahu of a tainet. And a little bit, there could be a tainet. Kvar avinu shabashmaim shina, Hashem who loves truth, changed the story. V'amar v'aniz akanti said a different thing. B'vnei ha-shalom. Just that there should be shalom. V'echad ha-limudim is that, one of the things that we learn from this, Hamida toiva meruba, kama nachas ruach yesh l'avinu shabashmaim, mikol chut ha-sa'ar shalom. We learn from this how much Hashem so desperately, desperately wants there to be shalom. That there shouldn't be anything that could stare shalom. Anything. It should just be shalom. Shalahav v'yachad, that there should be love between husband and wife. That there should be love between friends, between people, between parents and children. Not to stare. That Hashem would go against his midas ha-emes. The whole midah of Hashem is emes, is truth. And Hashem would say something which is not true. What? Just laman ha-shalom. Laman ha-shalom. That there should be shalom. When you live with this thought, how Hashem has so much nachas ruach, and Hashem wants so much that there should be shalom. Kama yoker v'choshel lefnei Hashem Shabbach inyan shalom. How precious shalom is in Hashem's eyes. Shiroyim ad kama k'nishbaruch medatek shal yafil terum is dak min adak, that Hashem is so careful, even though he's talking about the two sweetest people in the world who love each other more than anybody knows. We don't even know what love is. Avraham and Sarah Imenu, their love is immeasurable. And yet Hashem Shabbach changed around the whole story that it shouldn't come out maybe even 1 second episode. Dak min hadak, a tiny, tiny little bit of a second that Avraham should think, what does that mean, Adonai Zaken? Even for a second. They shouldn't stir any feelings of love between a husband and a wife. V'chayim k'seder she'im l'no asoga kamarotz navinu shebashamayim shebabayis yihakol chad mamish. We can't even imagine how Hashem wants more than anything that in a home, that there should be oneness in a home. There should be peace in the home. B'loy shum tarumus, without there being tainus, a husband against a wife, a wife against a husband. Shiyahakol shalom v'shalva mamash. That there should be shalom, there should be quiet, there should be peace. Zemeshana kolat sigun l'chol ha'avayda hazeh. It changes a whole way of looking at this avayda, of what? Of judging people in a favorable way. Of trying to be dalekatzchus, of trying to see good. If we realize how much nachas Hashem has and how much nachas it gives him, that Hashem is prepared to lie, that there shouldn't be what? Chas v'shalom, anything to stir the peace, anything to make a machloikis between Jews. V'nois and bren, this chazik, it gives us a fire, a bren, a fire, to strengthen ourselves in this union. Uksha Yehudi mismalev in this bug, kol kulab yidi hazu. When a Jew fills himself with this realization about how much Hashem is Baruch loves this, shekol achud hu oil b'fnei atzmo, what we've been learning until now, how everybody is mamish and oil b'fnei atzmo, that every person is his own world. Remember, we spoke a lot about that. Everybody is his own world, from his own background, with his own way of looking at things. Kol achud yeshel tiv machem, how everybody has a different nature. The koiches achem, and different koiches, different strengths and different weaknesses. Ze matzal ma'oid. It'll prevent you from having tainus. The person has different kaiches, different strengths and different weaknesses, comes from a different background, has different things that are important or less important. What might be so important to you is not important, as important to that person. And we spoke about that a lot. Listen, how many times it happens that a Jew comes into the house and he walks in to find the matzav, the situation in the house is not what he expected it to be. You walk in the house, and it's not what you thought it's going to be. Or what he wanted it to be. Avinu Shebishamayim writes, at that moment he has to remember that Hashem is Baruch wants. Loi rak sheyavol midosav, not just that he shouldn't get angry, he shouldn't get upset. He was expecting that the house should look a certain way, and as we spoke about, and the kids should be like this, and everything, the wife should be there. It should be a certain way. Not only, he says, does Hashem want you not to get angry, and not to say anything, and not to make a comment. And a lot of times a person doesn't say outright, doesn't get angry, but a person could say something that's like a little bit of like a shtach, a little bit of a shtach to give, like, you know, to, it's not, and then the other person says, why are you upset? I didn't say anything, so what I say was so terrible, but it's a shtach, and everybody knows how to give a shtach, you know, to say something that's not nice, and just to make a little bit of a comment. He says, not only does Hashem Baruch not want you to say anything or to react, Ela afilu b'lev, and we can reach this level even in your heart. Not only not to react and to say something or to make a face or whatever it is, or to go around angry or upset, even if you don't, but even b'lev, to work on that we could be even in our hearts. We should have any tainus. We should try to know, where's that person? Stop for a second and think, where is she coming from? What kind of a day must it have been? What's the bad? All these different things that we spoke about. Hashem Yisbarach was so careful that Hashem Yisbarach told something that was not true. Just so what? Not to have a taina, not to have a terumas, that they shouldn't make any taina that Avraham Avinu shouldn't have against his wife. So how much more so when things don't go the way that we want, you come in the house and it's not the way you expect, that it shouldn't, that the person shouldn't have a taina, kpeda, tarumas. We see from it that even to have a slightest negative thought, certainly Avraham Avinu was not going to yell, certainly Avraham Avinu was not going to say anything, Avraham Avinu was not going to make a face, there's not even a shiloh that Avraham Avinu was not going to say anything, but Hashem Baruch was worried that maybe Avraham Avinu for 1 second in his heart would have a negative feeling. For a second, my husband is old, maybe for a second, that he let her down, that he is not shy, maybe for a second, and Hashem Baruch avoided that, even though it meant saying something that wasn't true. That in certain ways, now we spoke about this Motzei Shabbos a few weeks ago. When we were discussing on Motzei Shabbos, we're talking about the Indian of Bir Hamidus, or working on clarifying and using the Midas properly. So some of you were there, maybe you remember I spoke about Ezek Kenegda, that Hashem is Baruch puts us in situations that when it says Ezek Kenegdo, that Hashem created for Adam a wife who was opposed to him, so we learned from the Meshulach and the Ishbitzin, that's what that whole talk was about, that in life it's not just that there's going to be conflicts in the home, but Bechlal in life, all of the Kenegdos in life, whenever there's something that's against you, it's the purpose that Hashem sent that your way was to be an Ezer for you, to help you grow, to help you change, to help you become who you can become. So he explains that it could be that the whole tachlis, this whole thing of why Hashem Yisbarach wanted us to have a family, to get married, to have a family, that Hashem Yisbarach wants us to do such a thing. Which there are many kashas you could ask bechlal, like, you know, most of the tzaras that people are talking about, I'm saying besides God forbid parnasa, and besides health and yonah, but most of the inyanim, at least that seems to me, that most of the inyanim has to do between husbands and wives. There's a lot of, in this inyan of husband, either you can't find one, or once you find one, like how to keep one, and it's all, you know, the whole thing of men and women in this world, it's such a bilbil, it's, you know, it's this tremendous, tremendous pain, like Mus Nefesh in this whole inyan. So, why did Hashem Yisbarach, you know, why did Hashem make the world in such a way? To begin with, you're in a situation where you're living with a person whose very nature is kenegdecha. It's not your nature. Because there's no way in the world that a man and a woman have the same tava. There's no way in the world, it makes no difference if they put up, instead of saying men work, they write people working. It doesn't make a difference. And it makes no difference, feminist adaption. There's anybody who has a little bit of a seichel and who hasn't been blackmailed by all the narishkeit of modern society knows that they're two different people, a man and a woman are different, two different birias, mamish, two different birias. And even though they grew up in the same kind of family, they went to the same kind of yeshivas, and they went to the same kind of shuls, and they lived around the corner, and they have they're both Republicans, or they're both Democrats, and everything is mamish, it seems to be 100% kesed, everything is fine until after the chuppah. And after the chuppah, it's a kenegdai. Because the teva is not the same. The nature is not the same. We know that al pi kabbalah that this is chesed, this is din, the two dimamish opposites. So why did Hashem's Baruch want to put us in such a matzav? Why does he want to put us in there? And not only that, it's a big simcha, you're singing, you know, it's a whole thing, simcha, the mazal tov, the kabbalah. And, you know, while you're looking at the under the chuppah, you know, boy, are they in for it. You know that they're in for it. You know that there's going to be a sort of, okay, with God's help, there'll be a lot of simcha, there'll be a lot of, but you know that there's going to be agnus nefesh. You know that they're going to be, you know, you're thinking, when, you know, it's so sweet. When's going to be that first really bad fight, you know, that disagreement? When's she going to find out that he's not that tzaddik that she thought he was? And he's going to find out she's not such a big tzaddik as like he thought she was? And, you know, all those discoveries and the difficulties and the disagreements and, they're in for, and yet we sing Simen Tov Mazdov and Eid Yeshama and everybody's excited and Kol Sosma and Kol Simcha. Why did Hashem's Baruch make the world in such a way? So he explains that that's what we were learning a few weeks ago. That it could be the whole Tachlis is what Hu B'Shvil Zeh for this reason. Kol Ha'Esalei Ezer, this whole business that Hashem said I'm going to make for Adam, a helpmate, an Ezer, is Hu B'Shvil HaKenegdai. It's because Hashem Zbaruch knows that the only way that you and I can become the people we need to become is by being challenged. Is by being in a situation which is the opposite of who we are. Being in that, learning how to forego our own needs, learning how to think of the other, learning how to outgrow selfishness and being wrapped up in oneself and being able to see an other and to give to the other. And the Hakadosh Baruch Hu made us in such a way that he put us into situations, everything in life, we would like everything to go smoothly, but Hashem Baruch Hu knows that the only way that we really grow is by being in a kenegda. We grow from the kenegdas. Or you could be destroyed by it. You could be destroyed, God forbid. But the tachlis is that we should become, to have a child. Anybody that has children knows, and Hashem Baruch Hu, everybody should have healthy children. Everybody knows that when you have children, you begin to realize who you really are. And that's when you really test it. You're such a nice person. You never lost your temper. You're always so kind. You're always so good. With children, you find out who you really are. It could be pretty upsetting. You have to work on yourself. And if not for that child, you would never, ever have worked on yourself. These people who say that they're happy being by themselves, are valid. They can be happy, especially if they're not from. So they go and they do whatever they want anyway, so they're doing all kinds of affairs. So what's the meaning of getting married? I'm happy. And if I have an argument with that girl, I throw her out of the apartment. I find another one. There's no meaning of Aza Kenegda. If it's not the way that I like it, finished. I wash my hands of it. And I move on to something else until the Kenegdo starts. Then there's a Kenegdo. It's something which is against me. Goodbye. But Hashem Baruch Hu wanted that we should live lives of commitment. Not, God forbid, of abuse. Obviously, I'm not talking about an abusive situation. But a life of commitment. And in that commitment, to have the Kenegdo is to your very nature, to who you are, even on the simplest level of habits and taking care of things and cleaning and preparing and all of these nyanim, because it's only through the kenegdos that you become who you could become. It's a tachlis. So he explains, because Yehudi chai levado, because of God forbid a Jew is living by himself, ve'ein lo yaseik im af echad, and he doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. He doesn't have to work on his midas, right? He doesn't have to work on his midas. What does he have to work on? He likes to have the first thing when he comes home from shul. He likes to have a coffee and whatever it is, a piece of toast. So he makes himself a coffee. That's what he likes to. And if he comes home and the coffee and toast is not ready, he can't have any tainus. It means that he didn't buy it. He didn't put the coffee on the thing before he went to shul. So by that time, so he doesn't have to work on any midas. What's there to work on? If you don't have dealings with other people, and not stop, because you know it's very easy to be nice to everybody else in the world, but the people you're closest to, we learned that already. The hafle re'acha, kamaych is the hardest thing. Those who are in your world, who you're very, very close to, parents, children, husband, wife. It's very, very hard. So if a person lives by himself, so what does he have to misakin? Even something simple. A lot of people go through at work, go through terrible nisyanis. I see this all the time. People have difficulties with the boss, they have difficulties with the co-workers, terrible difficulties. There's an yonim of jealousy or a person feels, I'm working in this place so many years, and how can the other person, the boss, likes the other person more? The chayna, these kind of things that a person, even at work, which is so silly and insignificant, you know, the whole thing of work is just to make a panos, and yet people get so caught up. It could be like it's not a big deal, but you know, the boss looked at me this way and looked at the other one that way, and it turns your whole life around. If a person's by himself, if you want to live like by Walden Pond and live out in the wilderness, what do you have to work on? What are the midas? It's very nice. What do you have to work on? What are the midas? What does it mean? What do they mean this? What do you have to be misakim? What do you have to fix? How are you going to become the person who you need to become without the ezer kineg? That's why it's called an ezer. It helps you. How does it help you? By being kineg, though, by being against you. That's how you become. That's how you work on your midas. V'zeh loy toiv hayosa adam levado. And that's exactly what it says in Chumash and Bereishis. Hashem said, "Lo tov hayosa adam levado." It is not good for man to be alone. It is not good to be alone. Not just because Hashem is sentimental and He wants everybody to be happy. That's true also. But lo tov, when Hashem says it's not good for man to be alone, it means man will never become a man when he's alone. He'll never be when he's alone. He can't become when he's alone. And what happens is then you have two people that get married. Especially if they get married a little bit later on, so they get married, and then there are all kinds of fights and disagreements and arguments, and each one thinks, you know, I am such a nice person, you're a terrible person, and because of you, I'm dragged into this ugliness. Now the terrorist is, I never knew what kind of a person I was until I was challenged by you, and now I'm very, very disgusted with myself. Of course, they don't say that. It's always, I'm disgusted with you. But really, I'm disgusted with myself because I never knew that I had such a temper. I never knew that I was so selfish and self-centered. I never knew that until I met you. So the nature of a person is to blame you instead of saying, every single time that I feel upset, it's what Hashem is saying in my ear, whispering in my ear, Ezer, Ezer, the Kineg does an Ezer. Overcome that, deal with that. Bidamakav schus, try to work on this. Try to understand why is this happening, why are you going through this. Even the smallest thing that you expected to, it should be on time and it's not on time. Person that you have people that live in homes with this constant tension. You have many, many women that over the years, and they've discussed this many times, that they're nervous if everything is not 100% the way, it's just a certain way, so then it's already capacious and tiredness and angry and problems, and the children's, you know, the whole house is turned over. Because why? Because it was supposed to be 9 o'clock and that's not, it's 9:10. All these things, these cheshbonos were supposed to go the way that he wanted it. It's not the way. Oh, it's the same thing with women. And because of this, instead of the person realizing that moment of kinegdo is supposed to be an ezer for you, and it's the whole tachlis that you're married is not that it should go the way that you want. The whole tachlis of being married is that it shouldn't go the way that you want. It sounds crazy. The whole tachlis of being married is that you should be able to love a person even though it doesn't always go the way that you want. And not only that, but you should become a better person, a greater person, because you've been thrown into a matzav, into a situation where it's never going to go the way you want. Very rarely it's going to be exactly the way you want. Two people stop. Even in yeshiva, two people can. But certainly when it comes to a man and woman, that to begin with, it's the odds are stacked against you because they're so different. The men and women are so completely different. So that's the whole tachlis that Hashem Baruch Hu wanted us to get married and to have children. It's not the only thing, but it's the tachlis what the tzaddikim say. And that's what he explains. Zelo tov hayosodom levado, adarabba, sarach shi'iloi ezer shu kenegdo. You have to be helped. You have to grow and become greater through the things that are against you. Shu shayna mimenu. It's different from you. Everybody has a different house, a different home. This is what we were learning before. Remember a couple of weeks we spoke about that? That you see this person, the kids are running around screaming and the other house, the kids are like in boot camp. And each one says it's unbearable. How could you have a house like that? And what kind of people are these? It's disgusting. It's not for me. I don't even know how. And it could be you're right. It's not for you. It doesn't mean that the person's not a good person. It doesn't mean that the person's not a good person. Everybody has a different house. V'yilodim achem and different kids. Different personalities, different nature. The tzaddikim thought shekol ha'sviva shel yehudi, that the entire sviva, the entire environment of a Jew, where you live, even the neighbor that you live in, kol ha'chaverim, and the chaverim that you meet, the chavrusas, and the boys in the yeshiva, the chavrusas, umagide shir, and the where you go to hear a shir, v'amokim Torah, in the place of Torah. For kol asviva, everything, hakol nichlo bezlei ezer, everything can be a help. It was there to help. Everything is there to help you. But how? Kenegdo. Not that it should definitely, not that it should necessarily go the way that you would like, but to be able to grow from the kenegdo, to be able to grow from the kenegdo. And everybody always thinks that if I would live, the person thinks I'm stuck in the, if I would live in Yerushalayim, if I would live in the, if this would be my kind of, if I would have this kind of a husband, this kind of a wife, I have these kind of kids, if I would have this kind of a home, then certainly, certainly I would be an ideal person. And Hashem is about to say, Shaita, you idiot. The only way that you can become an ideal person is exactly in the home that you're in the place that you're in, with the people that you're in. Which doesn't mean that you're not supposed to try to grow. So therefore a person should stay, in Bedford-Stuyvesant in East New York and not move to a Jewish neighborhood. Because why? Because here I have a kenegdo. This is my kenegdo that I can't walk out of the house. It's a kenegdo. No, a person should try to live in a Mokum Torah. Should try. But what he's saying is that as much as you try to live in the place that's most of, that's the Mokum Torah, you'll have people, there are certain people that God bless them, that they're constantly like, there's like somebody, yeah, you'll have someone that'll be in the shul, and you know that the person has like sometimes they have an expiration date, he comes on a bottle of milk or and things in the grocery says expiration date. There are yidden that come to a shul that has an expiration date on it. Why? Because guaranteed, by 2 years, 3 years, somebody says something that wasn't nice to me, but somebody asked me, oh, so-and-so goes to Yeshua. I said, yeah, and I thought he was going to say like a nice thing, because, I like the guy. He says, no, he's never been any place more than 4 years. I don't give him more than 6 months. I said, what are you talking about? Well, he left. But there's such an inyan that a person says, what? I expected this and this and this to be in this place initially. And I wanted it to be like this. And everything was going to be gewaldig. And it was going to be the way I wanted. It's not going to be, and I wouldn't have any problems. And I wouldn't have any machlokes. And everybody would be just the way I want them to be and the kind of person. And they would give me the right covet. And I would get the right seat. And I would get the right aliyah. And this is my salvation. Turns out that somebody forgot their yard sign. And the other one took away your kiddush. And then it happened another time that this one of his forgot to, didn't say good Shabbos because he was thinking about whatever, something he had in his head, didn't smile, didn't say good Shabbos. And the rabbi is an idiot and gave a bad speech. And this one said, and it turns out, all the things, and then what? It's time to go for another shul. I got to go someplace else. And people could say that. Instead of growing and trying to understand Hashem is not going to let me be lost. And in order, and Hashem is holding on to me by challenging me with kenegdis. With kenegdis. And when I first learned that Ishbitzer, that Torah from Ishbitzer, the Brachos, I learned around 20 years ago. I don't do it as much now as I used to, but it was a good thing. I remember thinking, I used to do that, mamish, every time that something came up. And it happens every day, 100 times. If something comes up, it's not the way that you want. So I would say to myself, kenegdi, kenegdi. I would just say that's the Ishbitzer type. Eze kenegdi. Hashem, you're trying to help me with this kenegdi, and I'm not going to give in to the negative. Hashem, help me that it should be that I should grow from this kenegdi. I shouldn't be lowered by the kenegdi. Help me, I should become a better husband, a better Jew, a better father from this moment which is kenegdi. Because it couldn't be that you're doing this to hurt me. It couldn't be that you want me to become to be lowered by this kenegdi. You only want me to become better from the kenegdi. So Hashem is about, help me to overcome this. Help me to somehow, because I know that if I'm going through this, it's because I'm supposed to be a better person. I'm going to be more patient, to try to be better from the Kenegdi. It's the whole tachlis of our lives. No matter how much you try to get into a place which is just right, like you try to find a perfect husband, you try to have the perfect kids, you try to have the perfect yeshiva, the perfect shul, you want to have the perfect block, the perfect house, chreis, whatever it is. So somebody fixes up the house, they work on it, and they went through every, they got, you know, they have stacks of magazines, every magazine, and they went through and they got, everything is this, and gewaldig. You can't get a better, you know. And then, the first rain, so this cracks, and this comes the rain, and the different inyanim, and then you see that it's not the way it's supposed to be, and everything, a person can become totally tzibrochen from it. We have also a ma'isa person. Will you get rain that comes to me? You're not interrupting. A person, you have sometimes, you have a family goes on vacation, and a vacation, a person's planning, especially people at work all week, if they're having, or all year, they have a vacation 2 weeks, the whole year they're planning that vacation should be what? An ezer. It should be good. It should be the best 2 weeks of the year. It should only be the way that everything, even though, because every day of my life at work, I'm surrounded by kenegdis. I'm surrounded by everything against me at work. And in the home, in the shul, everything's kenegdi. So now we're spending thousands of dollars to go in a place where everything is not going to be kenegdi. And that you know, it's your doer that the more you spend, the more it's connected. The more it's connected. The more it's connected. And this doesn't work out, and this is a disappointment. And then it's raining, and the kid's upset. And this one's got, God forbid, this one's got diarrhea. The other one's got a cold. And this one's stopped and crying. And this one's having a fight. And this one wants to go home. And and then they called me from work, and I thought I'm not going to have anything to do. It is an emergency, and I have to do this. The more you thought it was going to be the way that you wanted, the more it's connected. Because Hashem's tachlis is not that we should have vacations. He loves us. He wants us to have. But the tachlis of our lives is to become big people. And therefore we're surrounded by connectees. That's what he says. This is really, really, this little paragraph is one of the most important things in life to remember. These couple of sentences. You have a whole different way of looking at life if you believe in this and you hold on to this. Because all these people that are around you, that they're different from you and they're against you. Against you doesn't have to be that they're mamish, violently opposed to you. They're against your nature. They're against your nature. You have this kid rubs you the wrong way. I don't like the way they. I don't like the. If you've been a teacher, you come to a classroom. The first day you're there, it's like you right away see, like let's say there are 20 kids, right away there are 5 or 6 to begin with, you want to fail them. You're going to get them. Just like a certain face, like you say something, he rolls his eyes, or the girl's looking at her fingernails while, you're making like the most important point in life, and the girl's like looking in the mirror. The girls are always doing stuff. And you feel like, I'm giving over my whole heart, and this person is like, you couldn't care less. And you think that this is the worst thing, this is the worst affair. It's a connector. It's a moment of connector. That's what it is. And Hashem Baruch is teaching you to become a great person, and to love that person more than anybody else in the class. The connector, just like with a husband and wife, that's the person you can love more than anybody in the world. The one who's most, you can have most of the connectors. Statistically, every single married couple has more connectors from their spouse than any other person on earth. Maybe your mother-in-law. But the connectors, that's like second. But the connectors with a husband and wife are kaseder every day. They are connectors. And how to react to the connector. What are you going to say? Or what are you not going to say? How are you going to deal with it? Za'eza b'shvil l'sa'alos b'shvius amidus. Everything that's opposed to you, everything that's different from you, is a challenge for you to rise, to become better, to break that meter, to work on yourself. Every single thing. So, lishba v'lekar l'sharish me'atzmai. You have to work to what? To break, to uproot, to root out from yourself. That's what this is for. That's what we learned earlier in this little country. What the Baal Shem HaKadosh said, that when you see something in another person that you don't like, it means it has to do with you, right? You remember we spoke about that? That's what it means on a deeper level. It has to do with you, who you are, and what you need to fix in your life. It doesn't have to mean a specific aveir. Okay, but it means that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is telling you, become greater. Become greater. As kol hazilzulim, all the zilzulim, all the things that you know, you feel degraded, you feel that you're mistreated, all the zilzulim, lahavin, to understand, shavinu shebishamayim, yesh lo nachas mizeh, that Hashem is Baruch has tremendous nachas. The greatest pleasure Hashem has is when a Jew uses the kenegdo, that which is against him, as an ezer to become a better person. Zekovet shemayim davke kach, and that brings the biggest kovet shemayim, the greatest glory and honor of Hashem. Zeh hashir sheklai yisol mesharim lufnei Hashem. This is the most beautiful song that the Jewish people sing to Hashem, of that way of dealing with the kenegdos. Val derech moshe, and as a moshel, an example. Im yinagnu b'shir rak b'kli achad. We spoke about this earlier, that if there's one instrument that's being used to play a song, b'chol ha'menagnim yinagnu rak b'tayif. Everybody, let's say, is just using drums. Just bang. There's just a lot of people. But everybody's banging on the drums. Aimless at tamberech. That's not much music. If everybody's doing one thing. Hashir murka of mikama v'kama minakelim. A real song, of course, a beautiful song, is when a number of different kelim, all the different instruments are able. Like we saw this in Chabad Chaim, that a number of different instruments, all different instruments, are able to come together and to harmonize. Each one has its own unique sound. They're totally different. You think the drum understands the violin? Was a drum have with a violin? Was a clarinet have with a flute? I mean, yeah, what was the shaykhus? A clarinet looks like a flute. The clarinet. Each one looks at the other as being, well, you're so unrefined. Where do you come from? What kind of family are you from? It's not, how do you get a drum? Are you barbaric? Can you imagine how a violin looks at a drum? The violin is so ageless, so delicate and sweet, right? And the drum is like so unrefined, and the violin must think that the drum is completely uncouth. And how could they get together such thing? But if they work together and each one understands that he's different, I'm different, but together we can manage to do this. So then it comes out that Mahalach V'Oif and the Meginish, each one has its own way of making the song. V'davka kach yetz nigun v'shir ore, v'davka, that's how the most beautiful song is created. Hashira shokol Yisrael, lavinu shebishamayim. Right, and the word Yisrael has in it, of course, the words Shir Kel, God's song. The name, the word Yisrael, has in it the letters Shir Kel, God's song. A Jew, a Yisrael, is the Jewish people of the Shir Kel, the song of God, the song to God. Yeh says davka mitayich zeh. So how does that song to Hashem come about? How does that come out? The song davka from the fact that there are different sounds. Different types. Sheish kama v'kama ifanim of base. Avodas Hashem, as we spoke about, that there are many, many different ways of serving Hashem. Kama v'kama hanhogis, and there are different customs, there are different hanhogim. As we learned, we spoke about berichas u'malbushim, and there are different types of ways of dressing. There are different ways to dress. He's talking about, you know, you remember he's talking Yerushalayim, and so you have the Chassidim Shulavush, and among the Chassidim there are different types of Shulavush, and then you have the guy, the Litvisher guys, and you have the Svadim, and you have the Hezder people. Everybody has different clothing, different Levushim. I was just talking to somebody last night. There were a group of boys from YU, they were in Eretz Yisrael, Purim, and they were doing some wonderful things. They were helping families. They made the Suda's Purim also with families that they lost family members. And I was talking to somebody Chassan last night that he went with a bunch of the boys, the YU fellas. He went with a bunch of them to see Tzumeya Friday night, to go through Tzumeya. And he said that you couldn't believe her Tzumeya was hugging and kissing them. And he told these boys, You don't know what you did. What you did this week. What kind of mitzvahs you're shining in the most beautiful, beautiful light. How Hashem Baruch loves you and is hugging you. He told me he was there. You heard the Tzvi Meir, the one who wrote this, who we're reading, how he was kissing these boys. Now, if you would go to other places, they would say a couple of guys from YU. So if you go in Bnei Brak, a different place in Yerushalayim, they would say, hey, that's not our type. It's not for us. Right? It doesn't look like, they don't look like us. They don't come from our background. This person is that we're reading is not just writing and teaching. He mamish lives that way. He told me that that one of the fathers told this to me last night. He said that Rav Simai like couldn't get over the guys. He didn't want to leave them. He couldn't separate himself from them. He was so excited. He stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning with these boys, singing with them and spending time with them. Even though it's very hard to get into him, people always want to see him. He wanted to be with these boys. So what he said that such a thing that you did, that you went with these families and you made a Purim for them, and he couldn't get over them. So this is what he's saying. He says, listen, there are different malbushim, there are different customs, there are different types of clothing, different nusachs, different ways to daven, different minhagim, the daf yalima, different ways of learning, kols and mitzvah. Each one is like is an instrument. And when they all come together, yachli ashir ori v'nifl l'chved Hashem Yisbarach comes together to create the most beautiful, beautiful song to honor Hashem Yisbarach. What kind of a world would it be? What kind of a Yiddish would it be? What kind of glory for Hashem would it be? What kind of song would it be if everybody was exactly the same? What would it be? Kolam ni'imus v'harevus, all the sweetness. But davka mitoich zeh comes from this davka, what the kinegda. Davka from the fact that the instruments are not the same, and that they have to be synchronized, they have to work it out, they have to, the violin has to appreciate the drum has to appreciate the violin, and the Ashkenaz has to be the svad, and the svad has nechasa the litvak, and in one family that they come from two backgrounds, and they have two, they're two types of people. Davka, that's, and they learn to synchronize and to sing together. That's the Hashem's box, that's the Hashem's box, biggest nachas. Each Jew is mamish a world in himself. Just finish this paragraph. I have to try to get back to the simcha. For the sfas emes is she ikar and the kudish shel akeid. Listen to this. The sfas emes explains the ikar and the kudah of the akeid. This is a big subject. You know the akeid is Yitzchak when Avraham Avinu went and he tied Yitzchak down. Right? It's a big issue. What was the test? What was the test? That's what was happening over here. How you Svasemis taught, you know what the real test of the Akedah was? Shadar Kushlai Ramavina Bhavana Sashem Hayadarahava. All of Avinu's life, all of his life since he was a child was what? Was serving Hashem with love. Everything was love, just love. That was his whole way, was chesed, it was love and loving kindness. His whole essence, that's all he knew of, that's all he did, that's all he gave was love. The darkness of Yitzchak Hayir, and by Yitzchak his son, who was 37 years old, right? At the Akedah. It was just the opposite. Yitzchak's whole thing was awe and fear. Yitzchak's whole thing was awe and fear since he was in this world. It was just awe and fear. Ba'achri Akedah, and after the Akedah, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Avmavino, Hashem is Baruch Set Avmavino, Ay, Avmi says, Atri Yadati, Hashem says, now I know, which means now I'm showing you. Ki Yirei Lekim Ata, that you are also the God-fearing person. Not just that you love, not just that you love me, but you fear me. What does that mean? Ki ani soyin shel Avraham Avinu ba'akeda. The nisoyin of Avraham Avinu in the akeda. Hoya liyakir is derech havoida shel Yitzchak Avinu. The whole nisoyin of Avraham Avinu was that you are completely devoted to this, to the path of love. And Hashem says, I want you to see that Yitzchak's, your son's way of year of awe and fear is also precious. It's also something that you have to connect to. And it's the hardest thing because that's not his way. Avinu's way was not to lift up a knife to kill. That wasn't his way. It was against everything. It was the biggest kinegdo you can imagine. The biggest kinegdo in Avinu's life was to kill his own son. He couldn't kill a fly. He couldn't kill anybody. And Hashem told him, take a knife and kill your son. So why would Hashem do such a thing? To give him the biggest keneged. Because his whole way was only love. And therefore in his eyes, Yitzchak Avinu's way, you know, his son might have been like in some way, God forbid, like, you know, this is not the son that I wanted to have. Look at him. My son is always shaking and sittering. There's always his fear and his awe and his removal and he's distant and he's within himself. He's silent, right? And Avraham's whole way was everybody good Shabbos, good Yontif. Avraham was like Mamish, you know? And Yitzchak Avinu was with the eyes down and never looking at the world. And Avraham was thinking, well, but this is not the way. So Hashem tells him to take a knife and to kill his son. It means that Avinu now has to put on the garments of fear, or Avinu has to become what the great God-fearing Jew. And it's completely connected who he was and wanted to be. And Hashem says, now I see that you really, really serve me, not yourself. Now I see that what? That you use this kenegdecha, this opposing thing, what? As an ezer to become even a greater person, to see that your son's way is very precious and very holy. And it's not, doesn't have to be davke the way you feel like being. The way, in other words, it should go the way that you like. It should be an ezer. But through the keneged, I'm helping you. And then what came from that? The most beautiful song. It says that they walked together. Avraham walked with his son Yitzchak. They walked together. And the Sfasema said that was the greatest nachas that Hashem could have, that these two people who were so different, father and son, walked together in this world, that they saw the good in each other, they loved each other, they realized that together we can make this song of Klal Yisrael begin, we can begin this music. You with Ahava, me with Yira, but each one understands, appreciates, and tries to adapt and activate within himself the opposite. That's why, you know, the whole the Abderov, the Ayyub Yisrael, talks about one of the strangest psukim there of the Akedah was, says there, Yitzchak, and they're walking there together, so Yitzchak says, Avi, he says, my father, but he doesn't say anything. And Avraham Avinu answers back, Hineni b'ni, here I am, my son. So all the Mefarshim are asking, like, what's he saying? Yitzchak just says, father. He doesn't say anything. Father what? Avraham just says, here I am, my son. So the Abderov said that Yitzchak is saying, Avi, my father. Meaning, my father, your whole thing that you ever taught me was love. And that which is chesed, ahava. And now what? And now you're going to use what? Now you're going to kill me? Now you're going to take a knife to my throat and slit my throat? So that's against everything you are. So Avraham Avinu answered, Hineni b'ni, which means what? Behold, now I must be like you, my son. Hineni b'ni, I have to now be like you, which is what? Hashem wants me to be God-fearing. So I can't go the way that I want. I have to, it's connected. I have to do what Hashem said. I have to be God-fearing. Hineni b'ni. And after I've said that, that's the whole idea of dressing up on Purim. Which I'm not going to explain that right now. It's the whole Simcha comes from opposites, right? You always laugh when something's not the way you expect it to be. That's what's funny, right? If a clumsy person slips and falls down, so maybe a few people giggle. But if like the President of the United States slips, then they'll show it on the news for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and everybody's laughing, right? It's a whole gesimcha for the world. We understand that. Because when something is the totally opposite of what you thought it was going to be, it's a schaik, it generates laughter. The whole simcha of Purim is adla yodav and aha pechu, the opposites, and the whole simcha, and that's dressing up, you think you know who I am, I'm the opposite of who you think I am. It's all v'nahapech, which brings such a simcha of Purim. It's a gewaldige thing. But that's, Avraham Avinu says, Hineni b'ni, right now I am you. I have to be you, because Hashem told me to be this way. And that's how the Ishbis explained. The Ishbis explained the Indian of a sukkah. The Ishbis says, what does it mean to sit in a sukkah? It says that a sukkah is a temporary dwelling. And the Gemara says, leave your permanent dwelling and go into a temporary dwelling. So he said that everybody in life has permanent dwellings. I once explained this in shul. What does it mean, a permanent dwelling? It means, this is who I am. Somebody's like, why are you screaming go nuts when that happened? I've been doing that for my whole life. I scream and go nuts when something happens like that. That's your permanent dwelling. Because your nature is your permanent dwelling. To be a Jew, this which it says, you have to leave your permanent dwelling and go into a temporary dwelling. Which means you have to be prepared to let go of what is your permanent dwelling. Now you're in a place that's the opposite of you, and maybe Hashem's asking you to serve Him in a different way, and to understand that there's something different happening, and to be able to adapt to that, to deal with that. That means that's what it means to go into a temporary dwelling. Hashem's not asking anybody to change their nature, but Hashem's asking you to understand that there are other people of different nature, and you're in different situations that demand different things. You can't just say, "This is who I am." What do you mean, "This is who you are"? Who you are would be that particular reaction would have been right in a different situation, but right now that's not the correct way to act. That's not the right correct way to act. You can ask somebody, "Why are you talking? You're in shul." "My whole life I'm talking in shul." "You should talk as entire way you like, but in shul is not the place to talk. What do you mean? It's my whole life I talk in shul." So then leave your permanent dwelling and go to a temporary dwelling. Your temporary dwelling is keeping your mouth closed. Your permanent dwelling is talking. Leave your permanent dwelling to go into a temporary dwelling. That's what a sukkah is. And there's nothing in the world gives Hashem bigger nachas than when He sees a yid sitting in a sukkah. There's nothing in the world. God, Hashem surrounds you, mamash, because He sees that a yid is ready to, like Avraham Avinu, is ready to give up his nature to go into a temporary dwelling. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. There's no bigger nachas. Okay, Mitzvah, next time we'll finish a Mitzvah of Kuntres.